The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Money FM 89.3, the best of Saturday mornings.
Last night at the in town, we had an amazing concert happening for the 80th birthday, the 63rd anniversary of his performing around Singapore and around the world. And that was a special tribute to Louis Soliano, the godfather of Singapore jazz. Joining us right now, this cultural medallion recipient in the studios here at Money FM. Louis, it is so great to have you with us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hey, let's talk first about the show last night. It was amazing. And of course, yourself and Jeremy, our good friend Jeremy Montero. Ramia Rahim was with us, Don Gomez, Melissa Tam, Joanne Dong, and then, of course, the band, the regular band there of Rich Hsu, Sean Letts, Ben Poe, Reggie Leo, Tamago, and Mohammed Noor. What an all-star lineup last night. What a great show. Everybody at the Capitol Theater was just totally, totally engaged with you.
Well, I'm glad. I mean, I could do the show, you know, because actually, through Jeremy's encouragement, you know, to utilize the funds.
I've seen you perform several times before. I've seen you play those drums. How do you still find the energy to keep playing? You just celebrated your 80th birthday. Happy birthday. How do you find the energy?
I'll be honest with you. I didn't touch a drum for a couple of years.
Is that right?
Yeah, because you know why? I went to a different mode. You know, I started looking after my grandchildren and, you know, that was the love of my life, actually.
Yeah.
And then drumming, you know, it's just that most of the time I'm being engaged as a singer. Unless I do my own private function, you know, I perform outside and I play drums, you know. It's just that I used to have a home where I can play drums, where, you know, I can practice and so forth. When you don't have a home, you know, you sort of annoy the neighbors. You know,
I can't imagine any of your neighbors would be annoyed by your playing.
No, they most of them are very conservative.
All of Woodlands is ringing with the sounds of Louis Soliano.
For the moment.
Wonderful. Well, you've just had a well-deserved Lifetime Achievement Award from the Jazz Association Singapore. Congratulations on that. You had concert that Glenn attended for your 80th birthday. You have a career, Louis, that goes back six decades in different countries around the world. I wanted to ask you, you perform for the American soldiers, right, the military bases during the Vietnam War.
Correct.
What was that about? Tell us what experience
actually
was like.
I was working in a American club in Bangkok. There was the Chow Phraya Hotel, the officers' club. You know, it's an R&R. You know, and then we have a sort of a 10-piece band, and all the artists will come by to perform. People like Les Brown with this band, and then they have got people, Bob Hope, together with Raquel Welch and all these artists. So we are the supporting act. We play first.
With Bob Hope?
No, no. Let me explain. That's Bangkok. We played first. After the dance band finished, then the show comes in. And I will make the announcement.
Ah.
I'll say, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight we are proud to present to you, direct from America, we have Bob Hope and his entourage.
Mm.
And the entourage was the Les Brown Big Band, you see?
Nice.
Yeah. So they played, and then we stood outside, and, you know, we have our drinks. Drinks were very cheap, you know, when you go to American base like that, you know. It's 20 cents just for whiskey and things like that, you know. And then they play, and then we interact with them. When they take a break, we will play.
Ah,
we will play.
Got
we will
it.
Play. So I happened to play, and I was spotted by an agent, Jack Salverson, a big-time agent. And he told me, he said, Louis, I'd like you to play for me. And the money was attractive, you know. And I said, yeah, I don't mind, but that caused a lot of friction with my uncle, who was a band leader in the band, because he needed me more than anything else. Right. That's my godfather, you know. Anyway, I took the offer because it was $700 a week.
Hmm.
I accepted the gig, but I didn't realize that I had to do 21 shows a week.
Wow.
That means 3 shows.
Wow.
One for the private, one for the officers, and then one for the top guys.
Yeah.
You know, the top.
That's a lot of work.
So, but you know, it's 45 minutes, 45 minutes. But yeah. It's just that packing, you know. We have to run to another base, another area. You know, this is for the private, and that side is for the, you know, officers, and that's it. You know. So there's a lot of things happening. But we were musicians as well as crew.
Mm.
We had set up, but the band was small. It's a 3-piece, 4-piece band.
I got to ask, did you get a chance to meet Bob Hope and Raquel Welch?
Yeah, I met
I would imagine Raquel Welch made more of an impression.
I was too young to understand, you know. As long as, you know, I get to, you know, we all have our sightliners, you know, when we have when we're not doing anything, we, you know, that kind of game, you know.
Yeah.
MJ, they call it Mahjong.
Uh-huh. Sure.
That's the Asian trait, you know. So we were playing, and then when time for us to work, we work. But whenever we finish work, we have that little game.
Yeah.
But during that moment of working, I was working with an American saxophonist, Noel Jukes.
Okay.
Drums and tenor saxophone. So he'll play all the jazz stuff and so forth before Bob Hope comes out, you see. So when the Bob Hope comes out, so we get a chance to meet them.
Right.
So we get a chance. We are all staying in the crew, you know, the room. So we get to meet each other and we talk to one another and so forth. But I barely want to speak to people, you know, because, you know, they all speak proper English, you know. And here I wasn't that well trained yet, you know. Mm. I mean, no doubt I finished my schooling. It's only through when I met my English wife. That's where I learned to speak slightly better English.
So did you ever actually share a stage with Bob Hope, or was it just one off?
No. We work, as soon as we finish, we play first, and then after that Bob Hope will take over. Mm. The band will play with Les Brown's band. As soon as they finish, they pack up and they go back to Bangkok. Yeah. They don't stay. So we only get to say hi. Nice meeting you, things like that. You know?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I imagine that kind of training would have been priceless. 45 minutes. That's when you really do your trade, your training, yeah?
You know, as I grow older, I realize how important those moments were. But during that moment, because we are all young people, you know, all we know is, you know, I had to carry a gun, a Beretta.
Wow.
Because in the war, it's a war zone. If anything happened, we have to fend for ourselves, you see. Yeah, I give you an example.
You had to carry the gun, or was it given to you, or no, did you buy it on the black market?
Black market. We had to carry
Luis
one.
Luis Soriano was packing heat during his performances.
But, you know, it's just a pistol, you know. It's a Beretta.
Yeah.
But the thing is that our spare time, we go to the corner, we go and shoot. Learn to shoot, hold the gun, you know. Every time we shoot, because you say you point down and you bring it up, pump like that. But this is all part of being in the act, you know.
Yeah,
we were working with American artists. I was working with this lady who was the wife of the agent, Jack Salverson. Like I said, he asked me, Mr. Soriano, I would like you to play with this artist, Leanne Austin. And she was Miss Texas 1964, something like that. But I didn't know. You know, what do we know about people of that?
Sure.
64, 65 doesn't make any difference to us, you know.
Yeah.
We know that she's a very voluptuous looking lady. So we worked with her. But I had the reason why we have to carry a gun, because we have to protect her. Uh-huh. She's one European lady, American lady, tall, and going out to perform, and you know, what's going to happen?
With all the soldiers, you know? Yeah.
And you know, all the soldiers say, I'm not supposed to say this, but I'm just saying, most of them are all on heat. Because, you know, they don't see, it's only when they have their break time, they go into Saigon, and then to the town side, 11 o'clock.
Go to the clubs.
By 11 o'clock, by 10:30, there's a siren, like that,
yeah.
to indicate by 11 o'clock, everything is quiet. Yeah. There was an incident that I ate at the Carousel, you know, and then I didn't realize, you know, when you're eating there, you have to pay for butter, you have to pay for water. Hmm. And that was 1967, 68, you know. But we were making American money. It doesn't matter, so we paid.
Yeah.
But after that, we overstayed because we start talking. We went to pigs with chicks and here and there, you know, everywhere. It's a normal thing, you know what I'm saying? And then what happened when the sign, we missed our boat. We couldn't, because we couldn't even get the trishaw to send us home. So what we did was, me with this Australian piano player, Basil Green, and the standard saxophonist, Italian saxophonist, Alex Chaco. We got no place to go, you know, one giant, one in between, I'm the smallest kid. We go. So the only thing we can do is we go to a funeral parlor, because everywhere there's a funeral parlor.
No.
So we stay there. We join in and play the music. We wait till morning, 5 o'clock. When 5 o'clock, when the siren. Ooh.
You were hiding out in a funeral parlor playing music all night to avoid the curfew.
And we join them, you know, when they're enchanting and so forth.
Now, did you actually wake the dead?
No,
with your music.
We just. We took anything we have, even a little cup, and said, ding, ding, ding.
Oh, wow. Lewis, you've been on the radio for 10 minutes. You've played illegally at a funeral. You've carried a Beretta pistol, which you shot. You went on stage with Bob Hope.
And Raquel Welch.
Raquel Welch. You hung out with Miss Texas. And this has taken 5 minutes, Glenn. 5 minutes.
I know it's time already. You know, I guess it's time. But I have much to talk about because I work in England for... quite a while.
So. And let me just remind people, we're talking with Louis Soliano, the godfather of Singapore jazz, who was awarded last night. He's already a cultural medallion winner in Singapore, but he was given the Lifetime Achievement Award last night by the Singapore Jazz Society, and in a brilliant show at the Capitol Theater last night. So carry on with your remembrance about the working in the UK, Louis.
Okay. An English piano player who came in second to Larry Adler. His name is David Packer.
Okay.
So we were working in Bangkok, and he said, "Louis, come, let's go." We worked together, and we went to we had a gig to work in Afghanistan at the Intercontinental Hotel. So I only worked for 3 months, and I left. I didn't, because it's a sort of like weird place, you know.
Mm.
But I had the opportunity and a chance to see that Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
That was destroyed by them, you know.
I think it was the one in Bamiyan that they destroyed.
So I engaged a guy who, you know, I have to cover myself and dress and so forth. But one of the most beautiful things is that there's no light and so forth, but how come there's, from the above, there's a light that shone onto the Buddha?
Huh.
That is something, it's a miracle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then, you
natural,
know.
Natural light.
Natural light. Huh. And I don't know where it comes from, because I have to hide in the van.
Yeah.
But another thing is that the place is so weird, because you stand over this side, it's cool. You stand over on the right hand side, it is warm. But it still have snow here. It's the hemisphere. Mm. That is something I experienced that I cannot explain to people, because when they look at me, we're just small guy talking nonsense, you know. But I've experienced a lot of things, because, okay, talking, that's part of it. Then in England, he's the one who brought me to England. I played with people like Wee Willie Harris, Lavi Siffre.
Wow.
I played with Kathy Kirby.
Yeah, yeah.
Kathy Kirby, Paul Melbourne, a lot of artists, Wee Willie Harris. And in Singapore, I worked with Ronnie Corbett and...
Ronnie Corbett of the Two Ronnies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow. Wow.
I did the show with them here at the Hilton Hotel. And I've worked with so many, 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 many artists.
We have a question from the listener here. Lewis, did you ever play with Frank Sinatra or Dean Martin?
No,
but if
no,
you didn't, I mean, no. Tell us some of the ones you did play
with. I saw you with Tony Bennett. I saw you in a picture with Tony Bennett.
Yeah, Tony Bennett. What happened was Tony Bennett came to Singapore.
Mm.
I met him at the Ronnie Scott Jazz Club.
Okay.
Ronnie Scott, yes.
Ronnie Scott.
So, I played with. I took over from Tony Levin, that English drummer. I just played for a while and so forth. Then after that, I had to go to the toilet. Okay. So, somebody came in, and then Tony Bennett came in, and they all played among themselves. So I just sat down as a listener.
I see.
But I was very fortunate to have met him, shook his hands, you know, in a cold winter, you know. England, you know how cold it gets.
Yes, of course.
Not anymore. Yeah. Not with climate change.
But I was very lucky. I met a lot of English musicians. Like, I played with the late Tubby Hayes and the Coventry Cathedral, you know.
And did you meet Ronnie Scott, who, of course, ran the jazz club in London and was very famous, played on Beatles albums and things like that?
I met all these people because, you know, they look at me and say, who is this small man coming in? And they didn't allow me to come in because, you know why? They asked for, they don't even believe in my Singapore IC.
They didn't think you were of age.
Yeah, yeah. Even I work at a Crazy Horse in Paris.
Yeah.
I worked there for about 3 months.
How old were you?
I was about 28, 29, like that.
Wow. And you're working at the Crazy Horse in Paris. Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't go in because, you know why? I'm so small. All the bouncers were all tall guys. But then they realized because I always give them a tip.
Yeah.
I give them a tip, you know what I mean? And when I played, the bass player played trumpet and played bass at the same time, you know?
Yeah.
So we played for the show. And the girls all taught with the hairdresser, all that, touching the ceiling. I was just standing next to the neighbor.
That's so funny.
But they love me because very friendly with them.
Yeah.
But I had to run away from Paris for a while because, you know, I went to England to work because I go for the hair. I used to have long hair.
Mm.
So when I go into the parlor, the guy massage. 1 hour, he still hasn't finished. I realized this guy is gay. I'm not supposed to say all this, you know, thing, but I'm just being natural in what I'm have to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, of course.
You know? But I had tremendous experience. Then also, Jeremy brought me to, we went to Las Vegas, we went to Seattle, we went to Ritz-Carlton. We did a couple of, you know, we did a show.
Now, Lewis, I know there's a biography coming out about you next year, I believe, sometime early in the year. There's going to be a book about you, right, coming
out?
Yeah. So I would imagine a lot of these stories will be in the book, which will be really fun to hear.
I decided to do a picture book, you know.
Okay.
Because, you know, nowadays people don't read, you know. I'd be honest.
We can barely get them to listen to the radio.
Because you can have everything written. You tell me, I've got so many. I used to have a library of books,
yeah,
you know.
But sure.
It's just like a museum.
Mm.
I start giving away to people, you know. I gave away.
That's nice.
A lot of money I spend on that.
You know, in our time that's left, we don't have a lot of time left, unfortunately. But we've, of course, would love to have you come back on the show anytime. Okay. But I'd like to talk a little bit about the jazz scene today in Singapore.
Oh,
You know, there are so many great musicians, up-and-coming Singaporeans and people who are living here. Tell us a little bit about your perception of the jazz and the music scene in Singapore today.
I think it is grown tremendously high.
And no small thanks to you and Jeremy and others like you that have been such great mentors to people.
Yes, I played a role in the early days, you understand me? But in today's context, it's Jeremy is the man, you understand me? Because it's a different set of living, you understand me? And the standard of music has gone up so high that they have the funds.
Mm.
And Jeremy is a great marketeer.
Yep.
Nobody can touch him for that.
He's great.
Jeremy Montero. Of course, we hope you're listening, Jeremy.
and what he did for this, for my show, you know, he planned everything out for me and I just left it.
Yeah.
I do nothing. All I know, I get paid.
Well, that's good.
I want to get some of our listeners' comments in before we go. Athanasios, give Lewis a standing ovation. That is a life well lived. Bravo.
Nice.
Selena, hi, Lewis. You are an awesome musician. Loved your performance at Simply Jazz. We'll give the final word to LL Tan. Who is the most unforgettable musician you have worked with and why?
Good question.
Actually, my uncle. And my father.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, because the reason is my uncle, Jerry Soliano, I was the pet, you know, and I managed to sit in and watch him play. Actually, there are a lot of other people also, but the main people are my father. Encouragement. You know, my father was the one who encouraged me. He put a little drum set there. And I was invited to play with Buddy Rich. Buddy Rich was in Singapore. So when he left at the airport, son, he gave me a pedal, foot pedal. He gave me a splash cymbal, which I still have.
Buddy Rich.
Buddy Rich.
You, wow, that's me.
I got to show you. I got to show you in my iPad afterwards.
Wow.
And I have a picture
you
with me.
You played with Buddy Rich?
Yeah. At the, you know, they, you know where is the Lido Cinema Theater?
Yeah, of course.
There used to be a club. They call it the Rosido. And Buddy, we had our musicians union led by Slava Tyrov, a Russian guy, and he was the president of the musicians union. So we, whenever any big stars come by, we get to play. So like Jack T. Garden comes to Singapore playing at the Victoria Theatre, Victoria Memorial Hall. It wasn't no air condition those days. All was fan, you know.
Yeah.
And we didn't feel the heat at all because there were a lot of trees around.
Yeah.
In today's context, too many buildings, so that's why they have the air condition now.
Nice.
You know? And then we have Glenn Miller.
Mm-hmm.
I still have that card, of invitation card.
So that's a pretty good list already of people that you played with.
Buddy Rich, Glenn Miller, Ronnie Scott.
No, Glenn Miller, I was still a young boy, but we get to see. I got a chance to play with all the other musicians like Kenny Drew, Hampton Horse, that went to Bangkok, you know. I had a second meeting with Buddy Rich when Buddy Rich Big Band was playing at the Chow Pier Hotel, and the drums couldn't come in because it is money, you know, going through, you know, immigration.
Yeah.
So he used my drums and he said, "Oh, it won't last. It will, you know, sort of go bonkers after that." So what I did was I nailed the bass drum in front. So no matter how hard he kicked, it didn't go through.
Ah, right.
So he played my drum set, you know. But the thing is that, the thing is that I was quite naughty in those days. He asked me to test the drumsticks because, you know, he wanted to have a level. So I balanced. I put the sticks up. Those that I feel that he not so good, I slip it under the stage.
Yeah.
So by the time he left, I had about 80 sticks.
Wow. We're only talking about one of the greatest, most prominent, influential drummers of all time, Buddy Rich.
Yeah,
and exactly. then one more thing is that because when they had a Jing Krupa competition, I came in first and I still have the trophy.
Nice.
The Jing Krupa trophy. So I won the Jing Krupa contest.
Louis, we have to leave it there. Unfortunately, okay. We're coming up on the top of the hour, but our thanks to Louis Soliano, the godfather of Singapore jazz, just last night was awarded the Lifetime Achievement. Thank you, Neil. A Lifetime Achievement Award from the Singapore Jazz Association. Great concert last night. Thank you for being with us today. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.